First of all, we hope everybody enjoyed the 600 hour test. Also, an important thing just to note for question number 10, the question was, should you answer Baruch Hu Baruch Shemai? If someone's being Maitzi, let's say someone's being Maitzi in Kiddush, should you answer Baruch Hu Baruch Shemai? Correct? Right, let's say someone's making Kiddush. Someone's making Kiddush at the Shabbos table. Right? Should I answer, when they say Baruch Ata Hashem, should I say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemai? Or not? The answer is you shouldn't. Right? Why? Because the Hefsek, right? I'm trying to listen to the Baruch. However, let's say I did answer Baruch Hu Baruch Shemai by mistake. Just out of rote, I answered. Then, b'diyevi, you are yet. That's just good to know the halacha. Got that? So, l'chatchil, you shouldn't answer Baruch Hu Baruch Shemai to begin with. But if you answered, you still get the kiddush. If you're listening to someone's kiddush, you can still fulfill. He can still fulfill you.
What about it?
Right. No, not these days. These days, not to be
Maitzias. Let's say a guy does
not adopt him. So then you shouldn't answer Baruch Hashem. Correct. If a person is really being Yetzir in the Shliach Tzibur, Chazar Sashat, first of all, you should tell him to make sure he's Maitzias. Because most guys think they're just doing it just for Api Kabbalah. That's really what we do. It's more Api Kabbalah. More Api said why we still do it. Okay, so it's Api Kabbalah, the higher the Chazar Sashat is higher than the regular Shemoneh Esrei. That's why it's so high, you can even say it out loud. Our Shemoneh Esrei was like not so high, so we're afraid the other guys, the outside guys, are going to fight us. But Chazar Sashat is so high, you can even say it out loud, the outside forces don't have power. That's what the Ben Shchai brings down. But anyway, so again, if a person, someone is being fulfilling me with Kiddush, I should not answer Baruch Hu Shemai. But if I answer it already then, I'm still Yaitz to my Kiddush. Don't have to make Kiddush again. Now, going back to yesterday's Chavetz Chaim for the shame, the podcast, it says, we spoke about yesterday that we have to be very careful and not speak Rechilos, even if our friend pressures us to do so. And we said in truth, our friendship, in a real friendship, one friend will not allow the other to become entangled in sin. See, even though we sometimes want to speak Lashon Rechilos, if there's no constructive purpose, we gave an example, let's say someone cheated my brother, and it's a one-time deal, and it's not going to happen again, then there's no purpose in telling my brother about it, even though I feel inclined to tell my brother about it, there's no constructive purpose, it's us. Now we're up to day 119. What do you do in a scenario where I know there's a certain store owner, he's a very, very cheesy guy, he's a shrewd, shrewd operator. What?
Dodgy.
They say here is shoddy. He sells shoddy merchandise. Shoddy merchandise.
Gray market.
Fine. And basically, he wants to sell your friend, who you know your friend's going to fall into his trap. He's going to tell him this thing's a brand name. And meanwhile, it's a very poor copy. Or he's telling him, really, this thing's worth $1,000. I'm giving you 50% off of $500. Meanwhile, this thing costs like $100. So you know this guy is cheating your friend. He thinks he's going to get a great deal. He's going to be happy. So then also, you are allowed to, of course you should try to advise him to go somewhere else, tell him it's closer, you know, there's more air conditioning, there's nicer music in a different store. Then they get convinced, you could tell him the Rechilos, but again, you have to make sure to fulfill the five conditions. The first one was to, Chavetz Chaim wants to repeat it again, because it's so easy to err in this area. First one is you must be certain that your information about the storekeeper is correct. First, we have to know if it's really a bad copy, or the coat that he's selling is really worth $100, and it's not the $1,000 jacket he claims to be.
When the information is public knowledge because they didn't sue.
Or was that? Or second of all, first of all, you must be certain your information is correct. Second of all, you must not exaggerate the storekeeper's words. You can't say that jacket's worth $20. It's really worth $100. Just tell the guy. Third of all, your intent must be for a constructive purpose, and not because you happen to dislike this particular storekeeper. The fourth condition is, you must be certain that there's no way to convince Reuven to avoid this purchase without telling him the faults of the storekeeper. The fifth condition is, you will not cause the storekeeper a loss which is not permitted by halacha. If your warning Reuven will result in a major scandal which will force the storekeeper to leave town, to close his business, then you must remain silent. Even though your friend Reuven might lose a few $100s, but if Reuven is a hot-headed guy, he's going to shut this guy down and to snitch it into the authorities, then you must remain silent. a competent halachic authority should be consulted regarding how to best prevent further fraud. I was speaking to the FBI. Fine. Baruch Hashem. That was Chafetz Chaim. They won 18 and then 119. Okay. Moving.
If the person's been sued by the government for selling that shoddy merchandise, is that considered public knowledge since it's on record?
Usually, yeah. Usually, if it's already public, then it's correct. Then it's public. If everyone knows about it. If it's public knowledge, it's in the papers.
The first condition, though, is for constructive purpose.
Right.
So I had an example. It was a store that I went into, and they're very rude to me. I didn't like it. So then we were walking past there with my wife. My wife wanted to go to that store and buy something. I said, I don't want to go in there. The guy in there was rude to me. We didn't go.
So it could be constructive. If you feel that you don't want your wife to get rude service, I mean, what's to construct this? That could be Lashon Hara. Just could because he's rude, that's bad feeling. That's Lashon Hara. Just because I don't like this guy because he's rude to me, that's Lashon Hara. So, but if you could tell your wife, maybe, I don't think you should go in there. I don't know, you might not, if you don't like rude service, you know, it's not like English service, then that could be constructive. That could be constructive purpose. But also, it's not so, it's a little tricky because really you're doing it for you. You're not, it's not really jealous. Because you're not keeping the other condition. That's not solely for a constructive purpose.
I'm doing it because I don't like it.
Right, because you don't like the guy. You could try to convince him, let's go somewhere else. So, you know, last time I had a little hard time. The line was too long. It could be Lashon Hara. Let's be careful. It's not easy not to speak Lashon Hara.
The better example is,
help
if,
us.
If a place has been convicted of selling shoddy merchandise, but it's not quite public knowledge. I mean, I didn't know about it when I went in there.
So if it's a constructive preface, then
and
then
the problem is that if I had known about it, I would have found a different store. I still like the merchandise, but it's like, I wouldn't recommend them for repairs.
If
I still go back there.
If there's a constructive preface, then you could tell people, if you don't like them for repairs, tell the people that they're not so good at repairs. Whatever, if it's a constructive purpose, you have to make your judgment. Ask a competent halachic authority before making drastic decisions. Good? Fine. Baruch Hashem. We're holding on the Yud Ches Chai. Yud Ches Amud Beis. Yud Ches Amud Beis.
18B.
18B. We missed you yesterday. 18B. I'm not sure where it is. Yeah, so let's see over here. We're up to the Gemara Amar of Gidol Amarav, which is going to be, how many lines from the top? 7 lines from the top. Amar of Gidol Amarav. Kayin sha'achal mechatas ba'ashon, lufnei zrika. Like a kayin who eats from a carbon chatas, or a carbon ashon, right, a sin offering or a guilt offering, before the blood was sprinkled, right? Then he gets boxed, right? We said every single carbon, the first 4 steps of every single carbon is going to be shchita, slaughtering, kabbalah, you have to accept the blood, halacha, walking it to the mizbeach, and zrika is sprinkling it. Every single carbon starts with those 4 steps. Afterwards, they vary depending on the carbon. Now, we know that the zrika is one of the main parts of the carbon, that this blood has to be slaughtered, has to be sprinkled on the mizbeach. Why? Why is it the main part, one of the main parts of the carbon? Rav Ram, why is sprinkling the blood one of the main parts of the karma? Why is it with the sprinkling of the blood? That's the kapar. The sprinkling of the blood, it's my blood. The animals instead of me, right? So now, instead of putting my blood, which is my nefesh, right, my soul, then you're putting the animal's blood. So if you don't sprinkle the blood, you don't get a kapar. So if the coin was, for some reason, lazy, or they dropped the blood, he had a mishap, and the blood wasn't sprinkled, my whole carbon is disqualified. You have to bring a new carbon. That's the halacha. The blood must be sprinkled. Now, not only that, not only for the carbon to be...
Now, what happens to the carbon? I mean, you can't use it for a carbon.
You could burn, if it wasn't burnt, you could burn it outside of the mizbeach. You can't... It's a possible carbon. It's messed up. What do you want to know?
So what do you do with it?
Depends. Sometimes you bury it, sometimes you... Depends. Sometimes you bury it, sometimes you burn it. At different times, you do different things with it. I don't remember exactly. Look in the Gemara in Yuma, discussing what to do with disqualified karbanos. Remember a little bit, spoke about it over there. Or other mesachtas. Just. Fine. So basically, what happened was, one issue is, first of all, that if you don't sprinkle it, your carbon is not valid. Another issue is the kohen is not allowed to partake in eating your carbon until your kapara was made, until all the proper steps were taken. Therefore, Here you have an issue. The guy ate the carbon before the blood was sprinkled. It could also, fine, it's also a question, we'll disqualify the carbon. But anyways, let's say we're here referring to the Kohen's point of view. Kohen sha'achal mechatas fa'ashem lefnei zrika. A Kohen who ate from the carbon chatas, or ashem, before the blood was sprinkled, like you get malchus. My time, what's the reason? Now really, Reb Shimon already gave us the reason. Because you could learn it out of a Kal v'Chomer. Right? Reb Yosef, what does Reb Gidon need a new reason for? Reb Shimon already gave you a reason.
Just in case you don't want to learn out from Reb Shimon's drush over there and everything the way he learned.
Good.
Give those comments to give us an alternative.
Good.
Also, Reb Shimon was learning through a Kal v'Chomer.
And that's what you do with Gemara and says that there's...
That's right.
I don't have a
test for that. So basically... So all those who have fancy points, don't have fancy points, it's all good, as long as you're Jewish. Basically, as long as it's all good, you want to learn Torah, it's good. The halacha is that why do we need the snoop shot? The fancy point is a way to bring down the pshat that, let's say, the Rabbanim who didn't necessarily like Reb Shimon's Kal v'Chomer. So let's say you didn't like Reb Shimon's Kal v'Chomer, right? Which the Gemara didn't like it so much. So then you need a new source for all his halachas, right? How do you know you get malchus? Correct? So therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll give you a scenario where there is malchus. Or, another pshat is, according to Rashi that learned the sugya, that when Reb Shimon said Isser Ba'amal, Vaskanis Tagamara, also Reb Shimon was only learning an Isser, right? That Reb Shimon himself was only teaching you that there's an Isser involved, then you still need a source, how do you know you'll get malchus?
There was a prohibition, not a malchus.
Right. But that's more complicated. But anyway, the simple pshat you can say is the first pshat is that the Rabbanan who didn't hold like Reb Shimon because they didn't necessarily love his Kal v'Chomer, then he needs a new source. Is that good?
If you slaughtered the animal kosherly, you collected the blood for sprinkling, and then you ate the animal, then if you sprinkle the blood, it doesn't act as a kapara?
That's a good question. If the eating was not proper, do you also need the kohen to eat it properly? So the answer is probably it will not be good either, because you need it to be sprinkled, and the kohen to eat your carbon to get your kapara. Really, the main thing is the blood, but you also need the kohen. The kohen also brings you a kapara. So if he ate it, it's a good question. If he ate it in a way he ate it, but he wasn't allowed to eat it that way, you're asking a question: is it a valid kapara? It's a good question because he ate it, and he was over on a lav. I'm guessing it's still good. Whenever you go against the lav. Just a lot, it still works. Like usually, he does something wrong, but it could be. I think it still works. Good. I don't think it invalidates your carbon. Right? Or Yaakov was asking, what happens in this scenario where the Kohen ate the meat too early? So he'll get malchus. What about my carbon? Is my carbon kosher? So I think it will be kosher.
You might have to make a carbon copy.
Carbon. Carbon copy. It's okay. Yeah. Carbon copy. Yeah. So that's his kosher. So what it says, put that in, put it in your safer. Right down. It's fine. So.
Well, on that question.
Which question?
On the previous question about Inia.
Yeah.
Well, didn't he have to soak and salt it?
They did. So a few people asked me today, what happened about this coin? Obviously, everything else was done properly. The animal was salted and soaked. Everything was done properly. Just the blood wasn't sprinkled. He's not getting any other reason for eating blood in the animal. The issue is they drew the blood already, right? They collected the blood. It wasn't sprinkled. The only thing he was doing wrong was he was eating it before his rika. This meat was slaughtered.
If they're soaking and salting it while he's sprinkling it.
They didn't sprinkle it. They sprinkle it sometimes. You have to know how it works.
It takes at least 2 or 3 hours to soak and
salt. But you have to realize in the Beis HaMikdash, a lot of times a very long line. There wasn't like you could just come, especially when there's Ola Regel, there were thousands and thousands of carbonates being brought. Was it so simple that your carbon got shechted and it was, you know, express service that your thing got zrikud in 2 minutes? There was no such thing. It was very complicated. Even by the carbonate, sometimes they would sit there mixing the blood so it shouldn't congeal. It's not so simple. You're right. You're saying, technically speaking, let them just salt it. You could very well have a scenario when the carbon was busy there with the samithash that your animal, the car is sitting there mixing your blood, making sure it's not going to congeal, and he's waiting online to do the sprinkling. I say, there is such a thing. You say,
right,
whatever it is.
That's why,
by the car in Pesach, the Mishnah.
That's why Avraham's going to get us to pass up to the front. He's going
right.
to bring us up to the front.
Right, he'll bring us to the front.
Right.
There's a line. Hopefully, try not to push and spill your blood, because if you spill your blood,
So then we need to barcode everything.
You know, they didn't barcode it. They had a system. Everything worked out before all the technology.
It's exactly like the Israeli post office. It is the same thing.
It's a way. It's just the way.
Yell at people in front of me.
Okay, I'm sure they had a system. We should talk to them. They had a system. I don't think it was so much. It was busy. It was very hectic over there.
Okay, so nowadays we'll be using the Israeli postal system.
I don't know. They'll use whatever they decide. Maybe they'll use technology. I don't know. Maybe they'll barcode it. That guy was there with that guy. Fine. You want to make sure I have a tracking code to know if your carbon got sprinkled. What time? You have it like this.
Get an SMS.
Yeah, I got an SMS. What do you think is sprinkled? Get a card. That's that like a...
Actually, someone did a post on that.
Yeah.
And, which I copied. It's somewhere on my pages.
That's good. Fine. So let's see again. Amar Rav Kita, Amar Rav. Zor she'achal mechatas va'ashem lefnei zrika. A zor who eats from mechatas and ashem before it gets sprinkled. Potter. Hey, this is the guy. It says potter. Mm-hmm. Potter. He says...
You're doing the second word?
Oh, sorry, I skipped. That's what I was wondering what happened. I don't know what happened. It says potter. I didn't learn that. Yeah, on the top of Gidah, whoever's confused. He yes gets Malkus. That's the first of Gidah. My time, what's the reason? Says it's referring again to the Miluin, right, by the inauguration when they were practicing, right? They also needed practice. So 8 days before they started up to Mishkan, they did practice Karbanis. Aaron and his son, they did practice. So over there, so if you have a Gemara that brings the Pesukim, you can read the Pesukim in full. Should be by Al. What does the Pasuk say? They should eat it. They should eat them that they're making a kapara. I mean, the coin, when they eat these karbanis, they make a kapara atonement in them. They shall fill their hands. However, a stranger should not eat kikadisha. So what are we saying in this Pasuk? It says when the coin eats it, that's one of the things that bring the kapara. Right? So the Pasuk Gemara says, "Va'achol Aisam Asher Kubamem La'acha Kapara In." Right? So we're going to talk to him like this. After the Kapara, if it's eaten, after the blood is sprinkled, which is referring to as the Kapara here, In, yes. Right? Here, Gemara means In. Yes, it is going to be a valid eating. That's when you're supposed to eat it. Lefnei Kapara, before it gets atonement, which means before you sprinkle the blood, Loi, you cannot eat it. That's what we're going to deducts from this pasuk. Says if they, when they eat it, it should bring. What is the pasuk? The pasuk says they should eat it when it made a kapara in them. Meaning they should eat it when it had a kapara. They should eat it when the blood was, which means they should eat it when the blood was already sprinkled. Saying only they should eat it after the blood was sprinkled, but not before it. So what is this? This is called a law. This is a negative commandment. Haba, which came mechlal from the rule of Aseh, right? The Torah really said you should eat it after the sprinkling, right? So we deducted from there. You shouldn't eat it before the sprinkling. So that's a lav, which came from an assay. So we want to say, is that a assay or a lav? That's considered a lav. So a negative commandment, which you pulled out of the positive commandment. The Torah wants to say a chiddush, that's called a lav, that's called a negative commandment. Fine. So therefore, you have a negative commandment here, and therefore you'll get Malkus. So someone who eats the card, who eats it before us, we have a negative command. The Torah never said a negative command, right? We extrapolated a negative command. So you get Malkus. Fine. So that's where Rav Gidol Marav's source, you should get Malkus. Master Rabba asked the question. He said, I don't understand.
So even though, again, just with the rule that you have to have, an Azara scriptural warning,
right,
in terms of a law, even though it's not explicitly stated, you would still get Malkus in an assay.
Correct, because he says this equals a lav. In, right? This will equal a lav. A lav that we extrapolated from assay equals a lav. Correct, even though the Torah didn't say straight out, loy sechil, don't eat it. It's considered a lav. Good? Master Rav asked the question, he said, I don't like this rule so much, that a lav is extrapolated from your assay is automatically a lav. Says the Pasuk says, by we know a kosher animal needs to have split hooves and chew its cud. Like I said, the chol behemo, my friend says, parsa, v'shasa ashasa, which it means any animal which has split hooves. V'shasa ashasa shtei parsa. Now, I don't know exactly how to translate each word. Basically, it means that the hooves are very split, not just a little bit split. But behemoth, my friend says, parsa means that it has split hooves, It's split. Shasah shasah shtei pras means it has two splits, which means it's very split. It's like real split of, not just a little bit. Some animals can just have a little bit, but it has to have a full split of each, a full split of. Ma'ala gerit brings up its cud, right? Chooses cud, the behema. Oysa techeilu. This animal you should eat. So if it has very split hooves and it chooses cud, this is the animal you should eat. So we could do a lava blah blah blah. We could do that mechanism. We could do this mechanics. Oysa techeilu. Say like this. Oysa it techeilu. This animal, these type of animals with split hooves and chooses cud, the techeilu should eat. The ain behema acharis techeilu. But there is no other animal you could eat. If it doesn't have these two things, you cannot eat it. So let's make a lav haba machla asay. Let's extrapolate a lav from this asay. What's the lav? What's the asay here? Make sure it has split hooves and chooses cud, right? Then you should eat it. So let's extrapolate. If it doesn't have split hooves and chooses cud, you can't eat it. So let's make an asay out of this, and let's make a lav out of this asay. That's what we're trying to do. That Torah says yes, eat it.
Eating a, the asay you're saying is eating a. An animal that has split hooves and chooses cud.
Right, so let's pull that out. Let's deduct from here. You shouldn't eat an animal which doesn't have these two things. The law says. And that should equal the law says. Correct?
Right.
So if so, the
eek. Sorry,
what's kidnakam? The eek, we're up that right now. So the eek de ka'amrit, and if it's like you said earlier, if it's like that you said earlier that your rule of a law which comes from Asay is considered a law. As zed like techeilu lavali, why do I need the pasuk to end off by giving me a lav? The pasuk ends off, don't eat this. I don't need the extra words, don't eat this. I can deduct that on my own.
But you can only eat this for the positive, so why do I need the negative?
Because if you could deduct the negative and it equals the negative, then what do you need it for? Must be, you can't make your rule that your deduction rules. You deduct it. The Torah has to speak it out clearly, the negative. That's the thing where it's proving. Right. If not, what does the Torah need to write? But the chil, so why is it? Therefore, your rule is wrong. So if your rule was correct, that if you deduct a law from the asay, it's considered a law. Then why do I need the Torah to explicitly speak out? Alosas, but the chil, figure it out on your own. Extrapolate. Must be your rule is wrong, and the only way to get a law is the Torah to speak out clearly. Lois the chil, not extrapolations. Good.
But we're saying that is an accepted rule.
Sometimes this Gemara right now doesn't like it, but we're not taking it for this Gemara. I know. In this Gemara, we don't like it for now. The other Gemara will argue, but this Gemara itself doesn't like this rule.
Are we talking about a general rule in all shots?
It's a little complicated.
That you're learning out from the positive, the opposite would be the negative.
In shots, there is such a rule. This Gemara doesn't like it. That's the truth.
But an example.
For the rule or this particular ruling?
It's not like the rule itself. We're just asking in general. We don't like your rule because we have a question on your rule from a pasuk. So we don't like your rule. This Gemara doesn't like this rule.
But on the example they're giving, they do give specific examples. You can't eat a pig, a camel, or a hare.
Correct. But because it says over there again, Lezechel don't eat it. But we want to know why.
Why you have to list anything if he says it should have split hooves and bring up its cud, then everything else doesn't apply.
But that's a different question. Why you have to go ahead and have to give examples if you already gave me the rule. That's a different question. Either way, it's a good question. If you already gave the rule, what do you give examples for? Fine, it's a good question.
Exactly.
Fine, that's a good question. But, yeah, we're not going to go into that right now. Let's see. So that's what I'm saying. So if you're telling me that if you could extrapolate a lot from a say, right, if you could understand the negative from the positive, becomes a negative, you could get Malkus, why is the Torah to say, oh, yeah, let's say Chelu? Must be your rule is wrong. And the only way you get Malkus is if the Torah explicitly says, the lab, don't eat it. Not for your extrapolations. Is there such a word in English? Fine. So the one says your rule is so, it cannot have been where Rav Gida meant. So the one is going to rephrase Rav Gida. But let's see Rashi on the third wide line from the top, third line. The last words, Aysa Techelu, this you should eat. This pasuk is written. It's written. Kol behema mafresas parsa. Every animal that which has split hooves, uchulu, etc. And the pasuk says, "Oysa techeilu." It you should eat. The Torah is very specific. Only eat this. So you could deduct. V'loy behema tmeya. And you can't eat a behema which is tamei. She'ein simanin halaluba, which does not have these signs in it. What we see. La haba mechlal aseh. that a lot which is extrapolated from Aseh is Aseh and not a lot. Right? We see from here, the Torah has to specifically speak out a lot again, that a lot which comes in Aseh is really considered a Aseh. And not like you wanted to say it's considered a lot. Right? Everybody see what Rashi's saying? You told me you deduct from Aseh is considered a lot. Say no. It means you're just going against Aseh. If you do the opposite of the Aseh, that's not called you doing a lot. You're just doing going against Aseh. Right? I mean, the Torah says eat an animal which has split hooves and chews its cud. Correct? Now let's say eat an animal which does not have split hooves and chews its cud. Is that a lot? Because you can understand from the Torah you shouldn't eat if it doesn't have this.
It sounds like a lot.
Or, but it's your extrapolation. You took it out of there. Or no. But you eating an animal which doesn't have split hooves and chews its cud, you're going against the positive. The positive is eat animal with chews its cud and has split hooves. You're going against that. So what did you do when you went against that? Did you go against the Aseh? What did you do wrong? You put it on paper. If you went and you ate an animal which doesn't have these signs, you could say you just went against the Aseh. The Aseh is eat the right animal. You ate the wrong one. So either I can say you went against the Aseh. Or I could say, no, you, that's ready to go off. Whatever is the opposite of the Aseh is going to be a lot. That's right. Do you say lav which comes out of Aseh and you go against it, it's considered going against the Aseh? Or you go against the lav? What do you say, Father Bach? What's good? What's wrong? Tell us what's wrong. What's bothering you?
No, I just remember from years ago that it was, I don't know the answer, but it was a complicated explanation of this last phrase, lav above the cloud. Aseh.
What do you mean? Why is Aseh?
How is I don't it? Remember. I just remember it was complicated. I mean, I'm hearing like what you're saying. That's how I understood it. I thought I remember there was a whole other complicated kind of explanation about
it's
that.
It's very possible. I was reading Rashi simple, trying to be a simple people.
Yeah.
But I understand it simply. If you, I understand because how do you? Well, I went against that. I said I definitely went. Meaning, I did the opposite. How do you call it that? I went. I hear a little bit of question. How do you call that I went against the Aseh? The Aseh is eat an animal which split hooves and chews its cud. I ate a different animal, I just did nothing. I didn't do the Aseh, I didn't do... If I ate a different animal, I didn't do anything about the Aseh or not about the Aseh. I did something else, really. But, no, there is a question on this, Rashi. But right now, we're saying Allah b'chol Aseh is Aseh. Because that's your two choices. Good?
I mean, is that why they gave examples?
I don't know. Good question. I don't know why they give examples. I don't know if that's why. Fine. So let's see. The Gemara. So we're going to rephrase Reb Gita. Ella, rather, Itmar, if Reb Gita said anything, Hachi Itmar. A lot of times the Gemara does this. This phrase that we have quoted from Reb Gita Amar Rav, it's really in the name of Rav, makes no sense. Right? So we're saying, if there was such a meaning, so we sound like it's very off. It doesn't make sense what you're saying. So what a lot of times says, like, Itmar, if there was such a statement ever made, this must have been what it was. And why not even sure if your whole statement was made at all in the base marriage, right? We're not saying for sure this was the statement made in the base marriage. So if you're saying there was such a conversation, it must have been that this is what we're saying. That's why it does. Ella, rather, Itmar, if it was stated in the base marriage, such a conversation about Rav Gita, Hachi Itmar, this is what was stated. I'm Rav Gita, I'm a Rav. Rav Gita said in the name of Rav, Zor she'achal mechatos va'asham. A Yisrael who ate from a karma chatos va'asham lefnei zrika, potter, then he's potter. Then he's potter. My time, what's the reason? The Amar Krabbin from the Pasuk says, Va'achlu oisam, asher kupar b'hem, you shall eat them when they, you make a kapar in them, referring to the Kehanim, Bani Miluin. Kol heichal, wherever, or everywhere, the Karina Bay for Achlu Oistam. Well, you can read the pasuk where it applies the pasuk of they should eat them, the Kahanim should eat them. So I call here the Karina Bay for Achlu Oistam Asher Kuparim. The Kahanim should eat it when they made a Kaparim. Because that's referring to the Miluin. That's that whole pasuk over there. It's talking about the Kahanim. This pasuk is going back to the pasuk of the Miluin. And that, and read the end of the pasuk. And the pasuk says, Vizar lo yechal, a zar should not eat. The Zor lo yechal. Zor should not eat ki kaydeshe. They quote James the Kirsa, ki kaydeshe. So, wherever you apply the beginning of the pasuk, Then you apply the end. So if you apply the beginning of the pasuk that the kohen is supposed to be eating it, then you apply the end of the pasuk that Yisrael cannot eat it. V'chol heichan, wherever the loikar arena by v'achlu isam ashakuba mehem, we do not read the pasuk that says you should eat them to make kapar, which means the kohen is not supposed to be eating it. Let's say it's a carbon ayla, then like karina be v'zar loyecha, you do not have the pasuk of v'zar loyecha. So this is what Rav Gidal told us. Rav Gidal was telling us there in halacha that when does Yisrael have an issue with eating it? If it was permissible for the kohen to eat it, that's when the pasuk says that Yisrael cannot eat it. There's a special law for the Yisrael. If the kohen couldn't eat it anyway, there's no special law for the Yisrael not to eat it. Go like we said in the wires earlier.
Earlier with the kosher animals.
No, now it's nothing to do with kosher animals, not kosher animals. That's just going back to referring to
kosher. Parallel saying that you should, these are the ones you should eat, therefore the ones you should not eat. Isn't it paralleling that?
No? Paralleling to like the ola, since it wasn't fit for the kohen.
Which we learned previously.
That's what you heard.
So again, let's see the Gemara got inside again. Ela I itma, rather, if there was a statement made, hachi itma, like this was what was stated. Amar Rav Gidal Mara, Zar sha'achal mechatas va'ashem lefnei zrika, a Zar Yisrael who ate from a carbon chatas, a sin offering, a guilt offering before it was sprinkled. Sorry, I went back again, sorry. Why did I go back to there? I don't know why. Second. Yeah, sorry, go. Eliyat bar Hachitma, this is what we taught. Amar Rav Gidal Amarav, Zor sha'acha mechatas fa'ashma fnei zrika, potter. You are potter. Now, like we said earlier. Earlier we said, a zar who, sorry, it's a hold over halacha. Now we're referring to a zar who eats mechatas before zrika, it's potter. I'm getting confused. Right, before we were referring to a kohen. Before, Rav Gidal was trying to find a source that a kohen who eats gets malchus. Now, We didn't basically come out with a source. So we're saying a new halacha from Gidol Rav. But Gidol Rav was not talking about a kohen. He was talking about a zar. Amar Gidol Rav, zar sha'achal mechatas sha'ashal lefnei zrika, a zar, a stranger to the kohuna Yisrael who ate from the chatas before zrika, pater. Halacha is, he is going to be pater. My time, what's the reason? To Amar Kra, the pasuk says, va'achlu isam asher kupar mehem. You eat them when you make a kapar. Kol hicha, wherever the karina may, we read the pasuk va'achlu isam asher kupar mehem, that they should eat it when they made a kapar. I mean, the kohen is supposed to eat it after the zrika. Karina may, then we say for the Yisrael, v'zar lo'echa, then the Yisrael has a lav to eat it. V'chol hicha, and everywhere, the like karina may, we don't read va'achlu isam asher kupar mehem, which means if we're not in a stage yet that the kohen could eat it because they had the blood was sprinkled, it was a kapara. Because we're in a stage where there was no zrika yet. Then, like Karina, we don't read the pasuk on the Israel of Zer Loyecha. Which means like this. If you're in a stage of where the kohen could be eating it now because the kapara was already done after zrika, then you read the end of the pasuk that a zar has a lav and gets makos for eating it, right? But if you're not in a stage that the kohen himself could eat it yet, because there was no zrika yet, then the Israel also won't get malchus. We're saying the beginning of the pasuk connects. When do you say the end of the pasuk zar gets malchus? If the beginning of the pasuk applies, the kohen's supposed to be eating it, then if the Israel ate it, he gets malchus. But if we're in a stage now, the kohen wasn't even supposed to be eating it because it was before zrika, then the Israel doesn't get malchus.
That's exactly what we learned in dealing with the proving of the additional 6-1 trying to prove on top of Rava's form of Rabbi Shimon of the 5. It's exactly the same, isn't it?
That what?
That was the old offering, but still it is.
One second. That a zar eats a case before zrika? Was it? What is a different case? But what's your case?
Okay. The zar, we already learned that the zar can't eat.
Where?
The zar can't eat anything that's not fit for a kohen. We've sorted that, didn't we?
Yeah, but there's a different issue here.
What's the different issue?
A zar, if it's not fit for a kohen, the zar also won't get lashed.
That's our kiddush.
The zar will.
If the coin is
not fit for Kohen, Zar means that he will not get lashes also.
Correct.
That's what we learned about previously, didn't we?
Where did we learn that previously? That you have to be in that stage, that if a coin can't eat it, then he can't eat it? Right, we want to say Gemalkos also because it's Zar Loyech, one second. You're right. Correct. The Gemara mentioned this earlier. You are right. The Gemara on Daf Chesed Aleph asked this question. We said you should give Malkus because the Zar Leichal Kaidu Ki Kaidu Shem, which is this pasuk. Right, the Gemara asked for Loki Nami, right? That was the first in the Gufa. Amar Rav Zar Shalom, right? The first question in the Gufa. Amar Rav Zar Shalom and Aleph Ezrika, Zar who ate for Ezrika. Chutz Lachayma. Over there, he was referring to a carbon idol. It would be the same thing. You're right. Over there, he was referring to a carbon idol. Now, referring to a chatas.
It seems like it's a parallel.
Correct. Earlier, referring to a carbon idol. Now, referring to a carbon chatas and Asham. But Hanan is right that we mentioned earlier that if a coin is not in the state of eating. Over there, it was different. Over there, right, Rabbi Yosef Hanan is right. We had a very similar Gemara. On Amud Aleph, we had a Zar who ate the carbon idol before Ezrika. And then we said, how do you know? Maybe he should get Malchus.
Right.
We said, you don't get Malchus. Why not? Kind sits a kind.
What if it wasn't fit for anyone?
Nachon. So kind also, and
so
you're only going to get.
It seems there's a little bit of a stira here.
That's the same thing. You could only get
here
Malkus.
You were saying if it's not fit for a czar,
if it's not fit for a kind, if it's not fit for a kind because it wasn't Zrika yet, you don't get Malkus. The same thing.
It's very similar.
It's similar. Over there we said if it's not fit for a kohen because it's a carbon oila, right? Then a Yisrael wouldn't get Malkus for eating it.
Right. Just like it's not fit here, but because Zrika was not done.
Right. The point is, if it's not fit for a coin, a Yisrael wouldn't get Malkus for eating it. Correct? On the Yudchasim Alf, our example, it wasn't fit for a coin because it was a carbon oil. Over here, example, it's not fit for the coin because the blood was not sprinkled yet. You're correct. It's almost the same exact halacha. Very, very similar halachas. It's the same idea. The coin can't eat it, then Yisrael won't get punished for eating it now. But over there, we're referring to a carbon oil. And here, we're referring to a carbon. Chatas and Asham before this Zrika. Let's see Rashi. Very good. You are right. The third line in Rashi, the third narrow line. Karina Bevizol Yachas. So Rashi brings a different pasuk than our Gemara brought. Our Gemara brings a pasuk in our printing, and it's a printing mistake, Rashi says. Our pasuk brings Vizor Lo Yachal Kaitish. And Rashi says that's the wrong pasuk. The Gemara really meant to say Vizor Lo Yachal. Rashi says, to who? Because this is safer. This is the end, the high core of this pasuk by the Miluim. It's the end of the pasuk. The pasuk starts going for Achlo Yisrael Asher Kupar Bahem. And it ends up with Zor Lo Yechal. Fine. That's the pasuk we refer to. Now Rashi says, it can't mean the pasuk that our Gemara printed. V'chol Zor Lo Yechal Kaidesh. But the pasuk that says V'chol Zor Lo Yechal Kaidesh, a lot of the Kachin Mishnah, it's not speaking about Kachin. El Betruma, rather, is referring to Truma. Like it's written Bereisha Din Yana, at the end of that topic, like it's written in the beginning of that topic by Truma. Ishmi Zera Aaron, a man and man from the Zera of the children of Aaron. Which we learned that over there as to be referring to Dover Hashav Bizar Shal Aaron. The fact that the Torah used the double terminology of Ish meant it wasn't just Karbanis that are only for male Kahan. It's referring to Kahan, any Truma which any Kohen can eat, even women and children. Which was Davar Hashav, it was something which was equal Bazar Shah, all the children of Aaron, even the woman, even the children. Fine? That is this Gemara. Fine. Shkayach. Baruch Hashem. Thank you.